music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Steve Edge is here. Morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You're still in Gozo, still filming Madame Blanc?
Still, yeah, nearly halfway through. At the end of, what is this, week four? Yeah, this is the end of week four nearly. So, yeah.
Is it still absolutely baking out there in Malta?
Well, it's today, but yesterday we had a couple of days of rain. Apparently next week, there's a 26. This is it's biblical.
Oh,
they
really?
Keep talking about it. It's every day, the same year. It's like wind, rain, bang on, 26. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that prediction holds
that'd
true.
I'd be mad if it's true. The same day.
Exactly the same day.
That'd be
well,
weird.
That's what they're saying.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we'll see.
I don't think nature knows what date it is.
Well,
so maybe we've invented that. We've invented Wednesdays.
Yeah, no, but yeah, but it's, you know, maybe they know something. The clouds here. Maybe they're a little bit more wise.
What's it like when it rains there? Must be just people just looking at the sky, going, "What the hell's going on?" It's weird.
Well, it's you need a bit of rain, don't you, just to clear the sort of humidity. But then it's sort of like it's quite a sulphurous smell. Like somebody, remember you spit light a box of matches and do a genie and go, genie.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a bit like the smell was that yesterday.
But you then can sort of smell it in the
you
air.
You know when you're but you know when you're abroad and it rains, it usually rains for about like half an hour, doesn't it? And
then it's
gone in about an hour. Whereas yesterday it rained for about 4 hours and it was like being back home. I was like, oh, this isn't right. We're trapped in the. In the pub set, trapped in Le Caron, going, well, we can't go out.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens with the filming? Do they just... I guess they know it's going to rain, don't they, I suppose, so...
We were inside. No, we were inside all day yesterday, so it was all right, you know. We could get by.
Yeah.
Not to worry about being outside. But I think today we're all outside today. Yeah, we'll see.
There's a scene on the field in Waterloo Road towards the end of the series, and I remember that was, like, scheduled for the morning. Like, right, let's get this done in the morning. And when we got there, it was just, you know, when that frost is like white, so it looks like it's actually snowed.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like, and then we had to just wait for the sun just to gradually melt the ice. Like it's just stuff you can't work out whether it's going to happen or not.
That's what they did on the Carry On films. And Carry On Camping, I think, was filmed in the winter and they had to paint the grass green. And they all had to have an ice cube in their mouth so that they wouldn't breathe out steam because it was that cold. So, I mean, Barbara Windsor's, you know, bra's flying off.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
That would have been cold. That would have been cold.
Nippy, I guess.
Well, I didn't want to say the word.
No. Oh, fair enough. You were being mature, were you?
I was avoiding it, but I knew you were going to say it.
I can't help it. I care less than you. Even though my name is attached to the show, I think we're all having a laugh, aren't we? 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, you can get yourself cancelled. I don't want to get you cancelled.
No,
you
know no, no. Yeah, exactly. Although I'm not sure this cancelling thing's true. I mean, unless you break the law. Wow. And you actually, you know what I mean? You do something serious. A friend of mine went to see Matt Rife yesterday. He was doing some gigs at the Apollo in London. I don't know if you know this guy. He's like an American comic.
Mostly crowd work.
Good looking guy, you know. But she was saying, he does loads of stuff about how he got cancelled last year. And I was like, what? In front of 3,500 people at the London Apollo? Like, yes, I don't think he knows what cancelling means.
Yeah.
That's not being cancelled. It's like when they, you know, when any like edgy comic says it, I just did this, I got cancelled. You're like, you didn't get cancelled, did you? Because you're on Netflix. So this is not what cancelling is. Anyway, it's just one of my bugbears of those edgelords. We're on, what are we on now? Episode 2 of Waterloo Road has gone out now, and I'm now the head teacher.
Right.
I've now taken over.
What are you called again? Steve something.
Steve Savage. Bit like Steve Savage.
Steve Savage. Yeah, it's a bit like Steve Savage. What's your hair called?
It's got its own agent.
Character number. Well, I heard the hair was on a... You're on an equity contract, but your hair was on a SAG contract. So they have to have a 12-hour turnaround between days.
That's right.
Was there times you turned up and the hair wasn't ready?
That would A couple of times.
And they could only travel in a Mercedes C-Class, apparently.
Yeah, but separately from me, which was hard.
Oh, no. They got exclusive rights of a car. They don't want to be seen in the car with you. Sat with all the other wigs going, what's he like? He's all right.
The amount of people.
No, I don't want to slag him off, but you know.
The amount of people who've. Well, actually, I've had about 3 or 4 people on Twitter saying, "How come they've put you in a wig? Like that is actually my hair. That's actually my hair. They've just. That's what happens when you blow dry it. It's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's not a thing we do, is it? Blow drying. You know.
No, I'm towel drying out the door.
So I'll rub it into a shape, but I won't start.
No,
you know, blow drying it.
Not at all. Not for me at all. But yeah, so it's getting good now. I think I've taken over as head teacher, and I'm sort of and we're clamping down on vapes, Steve.
Is that what they're doing?
That's what dealing with the issues. Dealing with the issues. It was actually interesting because I never really thought about vapes because I don't really come into contact with them. You know, nobody in my sort of immediate family uses them. And then because of the show sort of has that Grange Hill thing, I suppose, where there's things happening because it's dealing with real things. You end up having a chat about it in your own life then. So yeah, I said to the girls, I was like, is there a big vape problem at your school? They were like, oh, they're everywhere. Everywhere. Okay. And it was like, everyone's people selling them, people, can you hold that for me? Like, there's all sorts. But they are sort of marketed snidely, aren't they, vapes? Bright colours and fruity flavours. I mean,
There's vending machines over here with them in, just in every sort of coach station and, you know.
Really?
Just there, just a vending machine.
I know they say, oh, they're safer than cigarettes or whatever. Nobody really knows because it's not been out long enough. But what I don't get is, like, at least with a cigarette, once you'd smoked it, it's done, innit? And then you probably have another one in a few hours' time or whatever. But the people with vapes, they're just constantly sucking on those things, chugging away.
And as I've always said, you know, it's always like you get a face full of, like, strawberry or watermelon. Mm. Do they not do, like a savoury vape?
That'd
you know,
be good,
like a
egg and chips,
or egg and chips, or
Sunday roast,
Marmite. That would really, Marmite. Imagine that getting blown in your face.
I don't like Marmite. Oh, horrible!
I just think it's not a bad idea, is it?
It's not a savoury vape.
Egg and chips.
It would well
savoury vapes. Let's go on Dragon's Den and then ban them.
Yeah, well, at least kids wouldn't use them if it was a savoury one.
Yeah,
I think it's snide. I think it's well snide the way they market it. Essentially towards
the
children.
And the flavours and everything, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, some scumbags are going right. It don't matter. As long as we sell loads, it don't matter who buys them. But it has that cloud of smoke that you see around a vape now, it's like it's becoming more annoying than the cigarette. And I don't like cigarettes, as you well know. Mm. So does my head in. But yeah, so that's the good thing about a show like Waterloo Road, because it does mean that you do end up discussing things. So I'll try and keep at a weekly, if we are chatting about it, I'll try and keep it a weekly, because obviously it's that every episode's dropped on iPlayer, so you can watch.
Right, you can binge it.
You can binge it, yeah. Some people have done it by about 9 o'clock that morning, that first morning. Let us know if you're enjoying it. It'd be nice to hear from you. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Here we go.
Questions for Steve.
Are you talking through that then? I felt like you were saying something.
I was adding an answer to the question. Questions for Steve. Because it normally is put his windows through. So
oh, is
I was
it?
Just, you know, giving the option.
It was freaking me out because I was
to the full. I know.
You
didn't want to listen to the full.
Now.
Area, yeah, you could just go, oh, well, I know what the answer's going to be.
Some weeks with the jingle, it's fine, and I enjoy it, and I sort of play it. And then some weeks I go, gosh, when is this jingle going to finish?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Maybe I need a short...
Surprises
like,
you.
Maybe I just need a short version of it, just for those weeks where you just can't be bothered. I don't want to take it away from you. We could do it live, yeah. Anyway, we've got a question for Steve. If you want to ask us a question, you can email us at any time, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. This one is from Danny, who says, hi, lads. Always have the show on. Lads. I feel like we are lads, me and you, Steve.
Yeah, lads.
Are we lads, though?
I don't think we are, lads.
Don't think we are, lads.
You know, let's take it.
Let's have the compliments. Hi, lads. Always have the show on while working most Sundays. I've got a question for Steve, but it's also one for Jason as well. You're both brilliant actors, he says. That's nice, isn't it?
Nice.
We rarely get compliments on this show. You're both brilliant actors, and I was wondering if you could give us a peek into what it's like during the filming process. What is the most times you've had to retake a scene? Have either of you had the giggles while filming? I'm very intrigued. Cheers. Danny, P.S. Jason, my wife said that you were born for the role as head teacher in Waterloo Road. Well, my kids have also said that a few times, to be fair. I've got a good teacher voice. It's like the same as your dad voice. Yeah, that sort of like, hey, Ty. I mean, I've got a bit of that going on.
Yeah.
Phones. Oi,
vapes. No. That sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So what's it like during the filming process? What's the most times you've had to do a retake? I've only done one thing with you when we did Scarborough together, and I would say Steve is one of the most like on it actors that you could work with, really. So there's not many retakes, certainly for you.
It depends what the job is as well.
It depends on,
you know, how much you've got to film. Like this, I'm on Madame Blanc at the minute. We shoot a lot, so there's no time for laughter and mess. There is, but not when we're filming. We have to be on it. You have to get it, you know. So I think the most, it'll be that Phoenix Nights take. It wasn't me. It was Justin.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Phoenix Nights clip where Justin was... I don't know, everything he said just made us laugh. He kept his inflection, he kept getting the rhymes a bit wrong. And like, it got to the point where everyone was annoyed. You know what I mean? We were really laughing, but everyone else was fuming. If you look at the clip, like Janice Connolly in the background, he's getting really annoyed because we can't stop laughing. And then I think we just ended for the night. And like, that's it, we're not going to get that. We all went out, got quite drunk because we weren't in the next day.
Yeah.
And then they rang us at 6 o'clock in the morning, went, you're in today. And we had to do that scene again. Like hungover, and no one was laughing. So it was a good bit of scheduling.
Yeah, that has worked out well. I don't know really. I mean, it's funny sometimes because, you know, when you see outtakes and the actor has deliberately said something funny to make the other people laugh, and it does get a laugh. I don't think I've ever done that because I always think, oh, I'm not going to waste, you know, if they've got the lights and the sound and everything just right, I don't want to be the one to mess around.
And it's interesting, I think, that now there isn't like Auntie's Bloomers or that thing that used to be on BBC 3 or 4 where the outtakes of the shows.
Oh, yeah.
Now that isn't available. There seems to be less people messing up. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation.
Oh, I see.
But when you did those shows, when you got paid. £350, Yeah, if you were in the shot. So if it was on, you know, like say me and you were doing the shit scene and you messed up, I'd have to jump into your shot and go and just start laughing next to you just so I would
so you also get paid as well.
The £300 or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I often, wow. I mean, there was a few times on Waterloo Road where, James Baxter plays Joe Casey. He's a giggler. And Adam Thomas, Adam Thomas. Who plays Dante, you've never met somebody who laughs so loud and so frequently. You can hear him like through the school halls from other parts of the building. He's such a loud laugher and he's like a giggler as well. We had quite a serious scene to do towards the end. And in rehearsal, like we couldn't even look in each other's eyes. So then, because he was making me laugh so much, so I was doing that thing where I was looking like just past his eyes.
Yeah, through him.
Through him.
I see a turn round. Turn it. I'll do it to the back of your head.
But that was making him laugh more because I was clearly looking at his forehead rather than in his actual eyeballs. So you do get a giggles. But I feel like, I think because I'm a comic as well, and you might have had this, Steve, when you're on, not necessarily now because you do lots of different sort of drama and comedy and stuff. But when you're a comedian, I think there's an expectation that you're going to mess about and be daft and stuff like that on a TV set or a film set. So I think I go the other way. And there's quite a few times on Waterloo Road where I'd be looking around going, guys, if I'm the most professional person on set, like there's a problem.
It depends what mood you're in. And obviously in certain scenes, somebody's got a lot to do and you've only got a bit to do. And he just, you don't mess about because they're trying to get into some sort of zone. They've got a lot of lines to remember. You don't want to be messing about.
Yeah.
I do a thing where if somebody's got a laugh, like genuinely laugh at something you've said, when it's on them, I will say something different to make them laugh because then it will be a real laugh.
Yes, yeah, That's fair enough.
I'm a giving actor, a very giving actor.
You are a very giving actor. I've always said that about you. I've always said that about you. Well, I hope that answers your question, Danny. You can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Radio. Manford. Where real music matters.
Now, Steve, I don't know if you saw this in the paper this week. You've heard of snakes on a plane.
I've heard of snakes on a plane.
How about squirrels on a train?
Is it the sequel? It doesn't sound as scary.
Sam Jackson's not signed up.
Is he involved?
For this one. This was the story this week that two squirrels who boarded a rush hour train to Gatwick forced operators to cancel the service. I don't think they forced them. Better cancel this service.
What? Yeah. Hello, this is just the Ranga. This is squirrels speaking. Right? I want you to suspend this service.
The squirrels jumped on the Great Western Railway service from Reading to Gatwick on Monday just before 9 a.m, forcing passengers to flee to other carriages. Staff attempted to lure the squirrels from the train at Redhill with snacks before trying to force them off with brooms, but to no avail. They ended up calling off the journey entirely. One passenger said it was complete pandemonium. The squirrels got into the rear carriage and attacked people. I don't think they attacked people. I'm sorry.
I don't think they attacked.
Two squirrels and you're a human being.
I've been on a train before where they've closed two of the carriages because something's gone wrong with the toilet and we've still carried on.
I'm not having that.
There's two squirrels in the back. There's two of them.
I think they're exaggerating here, but I like it. Yeah. All the passengers ran off the train again. Did you? Did you run off the train?
Two squirrels. Squirrels. On there.
The conductor then had to lock doors to stop the squirrels moving up the train. We've all heard the excuses, leaves on the line, but a squirrel attack is a new one. Again, attack. I feel like this is being bumped up, this story.
Everything, when you initially said it, you said they jumped on the train.
Yeah, jumped on a train.
From a tree. I mean, surely if they were jumping, they'd just sit on the top, wouldn't they? And then disturb no one. Get yourself in the buffet car, get some KP peanuts or whatever they eat.
Yeah, and then, exactly. That's absolutely
job it didn't go all the way to Gatwick, because then they would have got on the plane. And then they would have had to cancel planes. This is a squirrel jumping on a plane.
You don't need that. What a mad...
Could have happened.
That is the most British story I've read for a while, to be honest.
Unless it was a grey squirrel.
Unless it was a grey squirrel, of course, yeah. That is absolutely nuts. It is mad, though. I often think that, you know, if you... because obviously those squirrels would have then been in Gatwick or whatever. But they live in Reading.
Yeah, they've gone to get some nuts for their family.
Yeah.
And then they've got off and gone, where am I?
But what do you do,
Crawley?
Do the rest of the squirrels miss him? They're like, are they going, where's John? Like, I often think that.
Yeah. He's gone on holiday. He's gone to Gatwick, I think. He's gone to Alicante. Yeah. He's had 2 weeks. I think he's gone to Mexico. See the family, you know.
I thought that once with with a bee. I was on a plane and there was a bee on a plane. And not a bumblebee, just a normal bee. I thought, when we get to Portugal... Is this bee going to be able to talk to the other bees?
Well, you want to know where the nectar, you want to know where the plant. That's what I mean. He won't know how to say the name of the plants, will he?
Yeah. He'll
just be going, hey, mate. Just talking really loud. Mate, where is the flowers? Senor, I don't know. The flower. Oh, forget it. El flaueros. Flaueros.
Forget it.
I get the next plane back. This is a nightmare.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
So I had a parenting fail moment the other day, Steve.
Oh, okay. Talk me through.
Well, in my defence, there was two locations involved. Yeah, I know. So I dropped my daughter off at a sleepover with her friends. And what I didn't realise was that they weren't actually having the sleepover at that house. It was somewhere else. So they were off to a friend. They were off to Jump Heaven or whatever, one of these trampoline parks. And then they were back to a different friend's house later on that night. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I was up the next morning playing paddle tennis because, I don't know if I've mentioned, I'm a paddle tennis guy.
You're a paddle boar. Yeah, you're a paddle boar.
I'm a paddle boar, exactly. And what I My wife said, "Oh, will you pick her up on the way back?" I said, "No problem."
So you went to the original house.
Exactly.
House dropped
so I went to pick my daughter up at the wrong house.
But did you know that? You didn't know that. How would you know that? Or did you know that?
Well, I did know. No, I did know that. I had that. That information was in my head.
Right.
I just totally forgot.
Yeah.
It's pretty embarrassing to knock on a door and say, "Is my daughter there?" Who's 9, by the way. It's not like she's 15 and...
No, and also because their daughter wasn't there, was with your daughter. They were probably having like a nice relaxing night and they were just having a breakfast in bed.
I think they were.
Yeah, I've just come to put my daughter up. She's not here.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty bad, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember once dropping my son off at a wrong birthday party. I've done that before as well.
Did you have a nice time?
Do you know what? He got some cake out of it and it was fine.
It's all about the goodie bag, really, isn't it? The party bag. So,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
But, you know, mistakes happen when you're a parent. And so, as I often do, I post online to make you feel better. I talk about the rent to make you feel better as a parent. Because it's hard being a parent. People don't realise, if you're not one, that you are going to make mistakes. The thing about parenting is you don't even know if you've got it right until it's too late to do anything about it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So you may as well just enjoy the ride, you know. And our parents didn't care, did they?
No, and we turned out all right, haven't we?
We've turned out fine. I often think, like, it's only when you become a parent yourself that you realise that your parents didn't know what they were doing either.
No.
They were absolutely... They looked in control, didn't they? But when you left the room, they were like...
You just assume they're in control, don't you? But it's like a swan, whatever they say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, so lots of replies to the parenting fail online. You can join in as well for next week, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Corin says, my son was 11 years old playing cricket for a local team, was complaining that his toe was hurting. I shrugged it off for a couple of weeks, telling him not to moan. I'd buy him some new shoes when I got paid. Turned out he had a broken toe.
Oh, that's bad. That
the guilt.
Bad. I can see how that would happen, because kids are always moaning.
They are always moaning.
Shut up.
Yeah. No. The boy guilt and embarrassment wolf, I felt. Well, it is. That's the problem, yeah. The boy who cried toe. I had it years ago when I was a kid, where there was like a building site over the road and I'd fallen and a nail had like gone sort of into the side of my leg, but it's not like, it just like punctured my leg, but no blood came out. It was weird. Just a hole. I was like, yeah. And I was limping. I went into my mum and dad and they were like, ah, you'll be all right. You'll run that off. It was actually only, my mum said, it was only like 5 hours later when they were looking out the window and I was still limping. They were like, oh, hang on. He's not doing that for effect now.
He's not run that off yet.
Yeah, he's not run that off. I told him to get a tetanus.
Told him to run that off. What's he doing?
They think you can run anything off parents, don't they? Everything. Yeah. Yeah. I remember once saying to my dad, I need a wee. He went, just run it off. I was like, that's not the same thing. Can't run off a wee.
I don't think that, No.
If anything, it makes it worse.
They didn't have WebMD and stuff like that then in those days, did they? So they just assumed that was the answer to everything, run it off.
Yeah.
It'd be good if there was like a doctor online and you typed in anything, it went, just run it off.
Run it off.
Dad MD.
Dad
70s
MD.
Dad MD.
Dad MD.
Run it off.
Wet paper towel on any sort of pain. Yeah. Early night.
As a plaster. Newspaper, as a
glass of water. Glass of water.
Piece of dry toast.
Piece of dry toast. Hot Vimto.
It's all there, isn't it? The medicine cabinet was very different in the old days.
A Lucozade. That was medicinal.
Yeah.
Janice says, I turned up at my son's school friend's house for a party. Saw her car on the drive and pulled in. I texted first and they told me to let myself in, so I did. Let myself into her next door neighbour's house. An unknown family were just sitting comfortably in the front room, astounded by my brazen entrance.
Yeah. Dear, that's bad, isn't it?
That's not good, is it? Rocking up at someone else's house.
Somebody's house when they're not expecting it.
Yeah, I feel like I have done that at some point.
Actually, I remember when I was about sort of 17 and me and my mates were in a band and there was this lad and he had like a recording studio in his bedroom somewhere on a different bit of town we didn't really know. All the houses sort of looked the same.
Yeah.
And it was up, you know, you walked through the door, went straight upstairs, and then he had his recording studio in the two rooms. And we went to get some chips or something. And we went, come back in a minute, we'll finish recording it. And we came back and we knocked on the door, and then his mum and dad answered. And we went, just upstairs, we're doing a recording. Because we never met them. Just barged past them, walks upstairs into this 12-year-old girl's bedroom with a bag of chips going, oh, I think it's next door. Because we'd never met him before. No. And we were like, we're not got time for your questions. We're recording an album upstairs, mate. Just sit down.
But also the fact that they just let you in.
Well, I mean, we're obviously so convincing because we thought we were right. They were like, this must be. It's like Darren Brown. If you do it with enough conviction, they went, maybe somebody is recording an album upstairs. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a funny.
Amazing.
It's a funny when you realise, I'm really sorry, mate. Don't ring the police. I wasn't breaking this ear.
Shelley says, I watched my friend pull into the car park where we both work. She then suddenly turned around and drove back out when she realised that her son was still in the back of the car. She'd forgotten to drop him off at school first.
I was just going to work and she left. Yeah.
When they go gone. Quiet, though, when they go quiet, you can sort of forget they're there sometimes. Cause
well, they're rarely quiet, aren't they? Again,
that's what I mean. It's such a quiet, wall of noise.
It's confusing, isn't it?
Easy done. Chris says, I took my son for a driving lesson. On our way into town, he suddenly lost his nerves, so we agreed to swap over at the lights. I jumped out of the passenger seat and ran around front to the driver's side. He was going around the back of the car, but didn't move fast enough. I thought he'd got in the back. So I just drove off.
Right, lesson number one of driving. Never get out the car when your dad's driving, because I'll drive away. That's first lesson. It should be on the theory test, that one.
Imagine from the son's point of view, he just got out the car, his dad got in and drove off.
Right, are you getting the... Dad?
I drove off. I had no idea he wasn't in the car until I noticed his sisters in hysterics in the back. I left him jogging up a dual carriageway with steep banking on either side. I'm still ashamed to this day. Great story, though.
The fact the sister was just laughing.
I know, and didn't actually say.
Yeah.
You forgot him. But then that's what siblings are, aren't they, to be fair. Kerry Ann says, my daughter was around 6 years old and had a party to go to at the weekend. She must have told me about 11 billion times that we couldn't be late. I am never late, so this was really bugging me. We turned up, loads of kids there, but mostly boys. I then realised I was at the wrong party. Her friends was the day before. She cried so much, I let her have the present. That's the way out of it, I suppose. Oh, and you missed the party. It's not even like the next day. It was the day before.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
That's heartbreaking.
But, you know, these things happen. That's not going to shake your entire, you know, worldview of life and damage you when you're
older. I don't know. You'd be surprised what stays in the kid's head.
Yeah. Well, they say your first memory's trauma, don't they? They all say that, don't they?
Well, there is that. I mean, let's just be thankful you can't actually remember your actual trauma of birth. Lucy said it the other week. She was saying, she went, oh, isn't it a shame that you do stuff with like a 2 or 3 year old and they won't remember it? I was like, no, it's a good thing you don't remember any of that.
It takes the pressure off those first couple of years as well, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
We'll go to the park. He won't remember this.
Don't matter.
No point.
Imagine you could remember birth.
I know.
I mean, absolutely terrifying.
It's somewhere, mustn't it?
It's got to be in there.
Somewhere.
Just the idea that,
just like,
you know, you're all nice and warm, snug as a bug, and then out of nowhere, bang, whoosh, and then suddenly your head's stuck in a hole.
Apparently it's the volume, isn't it? I remember reading on the volume when Tam was pregnant, the volume inside the womb is the volume of driving a car at 80 miles an hour with all the windows down. So
what, that's
so
what they can hear all noise, the time?
Yeah, then that, and the heartbeats and all that, and then you come out, the heartbeat's gone, all that noise is gone. You're in this cold room.
Yeah.
There's a fella staring at you or a midwife staring at you.
Yeah. And slapping you as well back in the day.
Checking all your toes and everything. It's no wonder you start crying, isn't it?
Of course, I'd be crying all the time. Also, like every time you put on a tight jumper, you'd get a little flashback.
Yeah, well, exactly, you would, yeah.
You'd be there again, wouldn't you?
That's why they like being, that's that skin time and all that cuddling, because it's the same heartbeat. And that's that love, isn't it? They see that, the first face they see is the mum, isn't it? And they go, well, there you go, I'm trusting her, but everybody else, I've got suspicions about.
Good jog on. Kathy says, I went to pick up my son Oliver from his friend's house, knocked on a door. I said, oh, I'm here for Oliver. Was invited in and handed a newborn baby. They thought I was the health visitor for their son Oliver to do his newborn checks.
What I love about these stories is it'd be lovely if we ever did a phone in about what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you, and it was the reverse. And we just had a baby and there was a knock at the door.
Yeah.
We were just setting it down to watch Coronation Street, and these three lads in leather jackets came in with a bag of chips and said they were recording an album upstairs
in our 12-year-old daughter's room. Denise says, I sent my son to high school on the first day. Got a call from school secretary saying, hello, we have your son here. He looks very smart in his new uniform and briefcase, but he is a day early.
But, you know, you can sympathise. The summer holidays are long.
They are long.
And they've just gone.
Too long.
You can't be having a... Because they did start on a Wednesday, didn't they, I think, this year, or Tuesday. So you can easily see if they're gone. Just take him in on Monday. Just see if we can get away with it. See what happens. We'll get a couple of hours at least before they go. Don't start until Wednesday, mate. Get a couple of hours.
Sorry. Easy done.
Well, I must have read that wrong. Sorry, that's...
Easy done. Philip says, I went to pick my daughter up from a party looking for number 10. Could only see 9 3/4. Had to ring wife to explain to me that it was a Harry Potter themed party.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, that makes sense now. Yeah. I did think that was odd,
That would have been odd, wouldn't it? And what about this from Gaynor, who says, got a letter home from school to say my son's part in the Christmas nativity was Elvis. One of the Three Kings, I guess.
Makes sense. Yes, exactly,
I brought you some myrrh, baby.
That's a stable. Oh. Elvis has less of stable.
I got some gold, I got some frankincense for the little baby. I had a zip-up white jumpsuit made and spent hours gluing on rhinestones, styled his dark brown hair into a quiff and made a cardboard guitar for him. He was only 6. He loved it. And off to school he went. His teacher looked at me with an open mouth and I thought, she thinks this is great. And then
trying to work out what's next to I on the keyboard.
I don't think you'll get there. It's good though.
Oh, okay.
I then glanced around to the other children and realised he should have said elves.
Elves. Yeah, that's where I was going.
There's only one letter. It's only one letter different.
It is both L's, aren't they? I mean,
E-L-V-E-S. Wow. It's easy
I mean,
done.
It makes more sense to think of it. I mean, other than what you did, the connection between the Three Kings, I can't see any... Or the connection with the greatest story ever told.
No. And I only know that because I did a nativity panto at university which I wrote and I made one of the wise men, one of the Three Kings Elvis for that exact link. So that's the only reason I made the link. So, I mean, it's Elvis. I mean, the facts you went to so much. I want to know, Gaynor, did he still wear that suit? Yeah, was he wearing that? Was he in the full jumpsuit and everything? Because that, what a photo that would be years later to be surrounded by...
all dressed as elves.
Elves and you're dressed as Elvis. Oh, I
didn't get a memo.
Does not get better than that. That's I reckon that's... if we had a winner, that would be it.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
Boo! All right, so time to play Hit With Your Best Facts. Steve, what are the rules?
We want a fact. We want to be teased with a fact. Basically, the rule is how much we want to Google it or how much it astounds us. I think they're the ones that normally win. I think when somebody gives us the entire facts, they can sometimes win. But the ones that, you know, intrigue us and then ultimately let us down when we Google them, they're the ones that end up winning. And then no one's really a winner.
Yeah, that's true. Niall says, did you know that there is a lake in Finland called Nitokainen, which is the exact same shape of the country itself?
Ooh, that's good, isn't it?
That is good.
That is good.
We talked about shapes of countries last week, didn't we? We had...
isn't it? A lake that's exactly the same. Yeah, we did the KFC thing, didn't we? Yeah.
Although...
a lake that's shaped exactly the same as the country.
Yeah. How's that happened?
It's great, isn't it? I like that.
That won last week, didn't it? The country one.
Yeah, well, it was some. It would look like if you took like 4 states, it looked like somebody frying chicken, didn't it?
Yeah, but
is that what it was?
It was exactly that, and they'd obviously coloured it in with a chef's hat and a head and all that, and boots and pants. Yeah.
Chicken was the shape of something, wasn't it?
The chicken was Kentucky, so that was what was funny about
it. Yeah, that's right.
But
I saw somebody pointed out if you took away the chicken.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say that. Did you see that on Twitter?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
I know, it spoiled the facts for me.
Because it doesn't look like a pan as much then, does it?
No, it doesn't really. It just looks like Tennessee's just sticking out in a very unfortunate... sticking out of Arkansas in a very unfortunate shape. Yeah. So thank God for the chicken. But I'm interested to look at that lake. The exact exact same shape as well. That's what he says.
I don't want it to be near. I want it to be exactly the same. You know, like if there was a British one, if they went, oh, well, yeah, well, obviously Wales isn't on it or East Anglia. I want it all there.
That's very good. I like that. I like that. That's an early contender because we did mention that last week, shapes of countries. Robin says the only time that you wash your own skeleton is when you brush your teeth.
Are your teeth part of your skeleton?
I mean, that's what a weird phrase. What do you say that? I don't know.
I just didn't think. Are they part of you? I thought they were like a... I suppose they are, aren't they?
But I mean, they are white and... But they're enamel, aren't they? Is that what your bones made out of?
They're sort of held in by the gums, aren't they? They're not attached. Well, they are attached, aren't they? Oh, I don't know. We don't know enough about this. If they're saying that's the fact and it's been checked, then... Who are we to try and debate it? I mean, that is what we're here for. But.
I don't think teeth are part of your skeletal system. I'm going to say that pretty confidently.
I wouldn't have thought so, but you know, I'm not
because your teeth have training. You know, it's just enamel, isn't it? And bones have got like cells and
there's nerves
bone
in
marrow.
Them, you can there's nerves that, but then there's not nerves in bones, is there? That's in
I like the thought of it because it sort of feels it's like a freaky thing to say, but I don't.
It is a sort of freaky thing to say, but it's also if someone said it to you, you'd go, "All right, weirdo." You wouldn't necessarily go, "Oh, that's amazing." You'd go, "What a weird thing to say."
Do you know the only time that you clean your own skeleton? Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like a weird.
Sorry.
What?
Yeah. Right. Well, good night then.
Good facts so far, though. Keep them coming. Jason at absoluteradio.co.uk. We've got an octopus fact, Steve.
Oh, good. We love an octopus fact.
Very good. Did you know that there have been multiple recorded instances of octopuses in aquariums? Is it octopuses or octopi?
We don't know. Let's just say octopuses.
There's been multiple recorded instances of octopuses in aquariums climbing out of their tanks at night. They squidge their way to another tank to steal fish and eat them, then sneak home to avoid getting caught. This has been recorded from the 1870s onwards.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? The octopus fact. I love an octopus fact.
So clever, aren't they?
Isn't it an old joke that they're really hard to cook because they keep turning the gas off? The one, wasn't it?
They're very clever, aren't they, the old octopus?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well,
also, if you were like the night watchman of an aquarium, and how freaky would that be if you came in?
Yeah, you just see it, and then you just pick your phone up, ring, and go, Dave, you're going to believe what I just seen. What is the conditions for getting stuff on you've been framed? Is it still 300 quid? Or just have I got access to the CCTV here? Because I've just seen something that's absolutely blow your mind.
I think you would, if it was me, I think you would walk in, you would open the door and in my head, the octopus would look at you like, as you walked in and it'd be halfway out of the aquarium.
Would it look at you like, oh, I've been caught, or would like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Which look would it give you?
I think the second one.
He's not been caught out.
I think it would look at you and it's actually saying, no one will ever believe you. That's what it's
saying. And he could also go, oh, I tell you what, you come a bit closer, I could jump on your face.
How about that, mate?
Wrap all my tentacles around the back of your head. So you just go, all right, I'll have a bit of fun. You just go back to the canteen for half an hour. I'll be back in a bit.
Let him quietly close the door. Yeah, exactly.
Don't eat the clownfish.
Always tough to beat a... octopus facts, but let's go.
Octopus facts, yeah.
Janet says humans are 200,000 times more sensitive to smelling rain than sharks are at smelling blood.
Okay.
It's interesting, isn't it? I thought that was one of the skills of a shark.
I don't think one of my skills is, can you smell rain? I mean, when it's raining, a little bit of whatever, sulfur or ozone or whatever it is, wherever you are. But yeah, I thought they were famous for they could smell blood from miles away. But no,
I don't think everyone can smell rain. I think it's one of those things like coriander tastes like soap to some people. Like I think it's just one of those mad.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure one of my aunties can like smell if it's gonna rain. She's like, I can sense rain.
She the one who was burnt as a witch?
That's her.
That's her, yeah, I remember.
That's her, yeah. Sam says Japan was one vending machine, has one vending machine for every 40 people.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
That's a lot of vending machines.
You know, is it? I mean, I've never been to Japan, but you know, people say you can buy like cars from a vending machine.
I know.
I don't know, you know, how much is true, or the people have just started making stuff up now. Is that, you know?
No, I think they've got some really weird.
Tax and insure it and everything, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think they've got some.
How big's the vending machine?
Very odd.
The cars in it. Like, and then when it drops down and you've got to try and push that thing open to get your car out.
Yeah, that's going to be hard. Or if it gets stuck and you have to shake it.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, you get done there because the alarm will go off because you've bumped the machine.
There's all sorts of.
The TP machine. But yeah, there's all sorts of errors and problems, like things that could go wrong there.
They have like, you can buy fish, like live fish, live crabs. All sorts of things in those vending machines.
Really? But that's, who wants to buy, what, like as a pet or as food?
Well, I don't know, Steve. They do eat.
Because, you know, gutting a fish.
They do eat some things over there, don't they?
It's no fun, is it? You know, you need somebody who knows what they're doing there. You don't want to be watching a YouTube video and your screen keeps going off every minute and you're getting fish guts all over.
That doesn't sound fun, does it?
Just get it from the supermarket.
Chris says mushrooms are more closely related to humans than plants. What?
Yeah.
The mushroom?
Is he thinking of the Last of Us?
I think maybe he is, yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
You know, I suppose they're like spores, aren't they? You know.
Oh, I find that that's... Well, there you go. Well, they're all true because they've been checked on BBC Bite Size. So.
They've been checked, BBC Bite Size.
Yeah.
Or there might be a new system now. Peter might be doing a new system. I don't know. Maybe he's.
I don't know.
Just
actually,
googling it or going on Wikipedia.
Maybe. You've got to check 4 or 5 different things though these days, haven't you? You can't just check one.
Yeah, that's what I think. Google used to be. I'll Google it, but now like you said, it's I'll Google it and check 5 responses. And then
check. Yeah. Ducks quack in accents, according to Katie.
Do they?
I don't know.
Okay.
Quack!
Quack! That's a scouse duck.
That's a scouse one.
Scouse duck, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do any others.
Quack.
We'll go and do that one again.
What was that one?
Quack.
Like quack.
Cockney duck.
Cockney duck. Quack. Duck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely duck.
Yeah. Quack.
Is that like a Brummie?
That was a Brummie duck, yeah.
Brummie duck, yeah.
Yeah.
Quack! Yeah. What about that one? What a quack!
A Geordie duck.
That's a Geordie duck?
A Geordie duck.
Quack! Quack, yeah. Quack! Yeah?
Could well, you know, I'd like to... Somebody
like
should
to hear
record
this.
All these.
People need to record
the
local
hear
ducks.
These now. Yeah.
I want to hear this as well.
Yeah.
I'd like that. I want to hear ducks from around the country.
I think... Well, we said this before, I think, but all the poultry and all the birds... are good for getting into a Scouse accent, aren't they? Like Chechen, you know, and Chechi, Duch. They're all, you know,
that's
they work great for that.
Well, we went to Longleat Safari Park the other week, me and my son, and we were discussing whether the animals there have got a different accent to the ones at Knowsley.
Do you think they've got they've got more of a some Wiltshire, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Wiltshire, so they've got a little bit more of a Wiltshire accent compared to... Well, Scouse accent up in Knowsley.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that giraffe.
Maybe.
You know, like that.
I think, yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to know. I want more details on that.
Yeah. We want more details about regional accents of...
animals.
You know, all the animals. Would the same go for dogs and cats, would it? Would there be like a...
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Well, there must be somebody who's made this their life's work. And if not, I might take it on.
Your gut has a brain, according to Hannah.
Your gut has a brain.
Has a brain.
Oh, I thought you said your gutter. Like I thought you meant on
your
on
gut
the roof.
Is a brain.
Your gut is a brain. Yeah. I was like, hang on, this is mad.
This has got
your gut
field.
Is a brain. Okay.
Your gut has a brain. Yeah. What, like its own memory or its own? I don't know.
You get your guts. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Well, like good bacteria, bad bacteria. Don't know.
I know, but that's more of a moral compass, isn't it, rather than a brain.
So.
That's like saying your gut's got a conscience.
Yeah.
Oh, things I did last night.
The
awful.
Things I put through here.
I had a chicken takeaway at 11:30.
Alan says, did you know the inventor of the Frisbee was turned into a Frisbee after he died?
Well, what a way to go.
Well, it's what he would have wanted.
It's what I would have wanted, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, Frisbee. Oh. How have you turned it up? What have they done there then? Like, put his ashes in a... I don't know. I imagine they just
stood him under a big press and it just squashed him flat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that feels...
Just put him in a Frisbee machine. It says normal. Yeah. Everything, it was just that shape. Like a cartoon, you know, when Roadrunner, when he gets hit by a brick and he goes flat.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's probably what happened.
I think being cremated and then his ashes going into one feels like a much nicer version.
I mean, that could have happened as well. That could have happened as well.
But we don't know, Steve, because we've not Googled
it. Do you think there was like a little bit on the top where his ashes were in it?
I feel like that's probably something what the family would have wanted rather than, right, stick him in the machine.
you know, like people keep the ashes and, you know, and they're like pride of place. They're just there, aren't they? Not to be touched, not to be handled. Nobody picks them up and starts sifting through them. But with a Frisbee, somebody is going to go, hey, and chuck it one day, aren't they? Because it's a Frisbee.
But that's what he would have wanted. He wasn't playing with, so.
Yeah, it is what he would have wanted, yeah.
Makes sense. Martin says, there are more stars in the universe. We've had this before, I think. This is a good one, then. This is the problem with the change of producer, you see. They don't remember all the other ones.
Yeah.
But I remember this one. There are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sands on all of the beaches in the world.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we have had that before. Yeah.
We have had that one before. But I actually thought it was the other way around.
No, I didn't. I thought it was all the deserts as well rather than all the beaches.
Well, yeah, I imagine it's just like... Everything.
When I think, you know, like...
I guess there are. You know, I mean, I guess space is infinity, isn't it? So...
Yeah, but when...
So there are more stars. But well, surely there's definitely more grains of sand than stars you can see.
Yeah, but those stars even there anymore? That's, you know...
That's the other thing, isn't it?
I told you I watched... Did you watch that Apollo 13 thing that's just come on Netflix?
No.
It's very good. But what's interesting, it's all like archive footage and all of, you know, when they went off and the tank blew up and they had to come back and they nearly, you know, they only had four days to get back, but they only had 2 days of oxygen and it was very touch and go. It's a big, and they got all the archive, it's very good. But right at the beginning, anyway, they take off and they press some jettison, some tank, and it blows up. What do they say famously to the, back to Houston?
Houston, we have a problem.
Say? Yeah, no, they don't.
Do they not say
Houston,
it?
Houston, we've had a problem. Because they don't know they've got a problem yet. They've had a problem. Something just blew up behind them. I don't know what it was. Oxygen tank, don't know. They're not saying, we've got a problem here. We have a problem. They don't know that. They're blissfully unaware. We've had a problem.
Of course.
So that's interesting. Because we've said that for years. But the phrase is, Houston, we've had a problem. So anyway. But it's just, we're talking about stars. And it got me there.
Yeah. Yeah, good one. Right, last couple on this one. New York's tap water contains shrimp. I mean, okay.
That's nice.
That's from Mike. And Laurie says, the music used in the famous anti-piracy videos. You remember that? You wouldn't steal a car. Remember those?
The music used
in them was in fact used without the songwriter's permission and therefore pirated.
That's very good. Was piracy. Yeah, that's very good.
That's a late entrance there. I like that. Imagine him sat at home watching a video and then that come on.
Yeah, hang on.
Hey,
that's my music.
I wrote that. No one's asked me. I'm not getting paid. Some great facts this week, Steve. I'll rattle through them quickly. There's a lake in Finland that's the same shape as the country itself. The only time you wash your skeletons when you brush your teeth. The octopus can climb out of aquariums and eat other fish from other tanks. Humans, 200,000 times more sensitive at smelling rain than sharks are at smelling blood. Japan has one vending machine for every 40 people. Mushrooms are closely related to humans. Ducks quack in accents. Your gut has a brain. The inventor of the Frisbee is now an actual Frisbee. There are more stars than there are grains of sand. New York tap water contains shrimp. And the anti-piracy videos, you wouldn't steal a car. The music that was used was actually pirated. The irony. What do you reckon, Steve? Some good ones there. I know
they're all good. I mean, they're all good. It's a very strong week.
Yeah.
But I think I need to hear the piracy music again just so I can picture the fella who's just got home to watch Beverly Hills Cop on VHS. And he's just put it in and gone, yes, bang out of order this copying stuff. Hang on, recognise that music. That's my music. So I want to hear, I think I've got an idea what it goes like in my head, but I'd like to hear it again.
All right, let's have a little play. Here we go. If you remember this from back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Do you remember that? That's exactly it. You wouldn't steal a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Fella's music.
Yeah. There it is. So, yeah, that was... That's the story that the music was used in the anti-piracy warning videos. It was actually from a Dutch musician named Melchior Rietveld. Rietveld dealt with corrupt royalty collectors before finally reaping his just rewards in 2012, 6 years after he originally composed the music. I thought that was earlier than that. I thought that was in the 90s.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier than that, yeah.
Early noughties, yeah. But there you go. So that's our winner this week. I like that one. Laurie, who says the music used in the famous anti-piracy videos was in fact used without the songwriter's permission and therefore pirated. Good facts all round. If you want to join in next week, win yourself an Absolute Radio mug. All you got to do is email me, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Steve is still filming out in Gozo, Madame Blanc Mysteries, mm-hmm. which you can find on the... Is it My Five? Is that what it's called there?
Somewhere on My Five and Acorn on Amazon. I think they're all on there. And
So you can have a little watch of Steve getting up to all sorts of things in the sunshine. Waterloo Road, we've got episode 3 this Tuesday at 9 o'clock on BBC One. Or you can binge it on iPlayer. And I would say it's starting to hot up, actually. By episode 5, you'll be hooked. And it'll be one of them where you just have to watch the next 3 straight away, I reckon. No more Answer Run. Answer Run's finished now, but they're all on iPlayer as well if you fancy a little cheeky quiz. And I'm on tour, so if you want to come and see us, my warm-up tour has sold out. Apart from, I've got a couple of gigs this week in Hexham. Hexham on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm in North Allerton on Friday and Saturday. I think they're sold out, but Hexham has still got a few tickets left. So come along, you can get tickets at jasonmanford.com. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll see you next week here on Absolute Radio.